Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't tolerate sponsors. We don't take calls either. And we try to help focus you on the events of the week. Through the lens of original thought, I want to dive right in to the widespread panic file. Because there is widespread panic again, or at least there's the concerted effort to spread widespread panic. To spread it, if you can spread widespread panic. Anyway, the ready.gov website, which is a website designed by the government to get you ready. That's ready.gov, so that you can be ready. In case of a nuclear attack, they have a button you can click about what to do in case of a nuclear attack.
Wow.
Well, they're ready for everything, you know. That's one of the things about being in the government, is that you assume it's your job to make sure everyone is ready for everything. And so they have a button you can click on ready.gov. There's one regarding how to make al dente macaroni, and then there's one about nuclear attack. First of all, if there is a nuclear attack, or if you suspect there's been a nuclear attack, get inside the nearest building to avoid radiation. Brick or concrete are best. Number two, remove any contaminated clothing and wipe off or wash your unprotected skin. What's that?
Where do you take the clothes? Outside?
Well, preferably behind or in another brick or concrete building. A different building, though, to avoid contamination. Now, number four, do not use disinfectant wipes on your skin. Now, a couple things here. First of all, you don't have to say on your skin because it's a disinfectant wipe. What are you going to wipe with it? Your teeth? Your eyeballs? I think it goes without saying that you use a disinfectant wipe on your skin. So just a note to the editors at ready.gov. You can leave out the extra words. But I want to point out the significant problem, the much more significant problem than simply the grammar and the choice of words and the structure and the font and the formatting, is the issue of the confusion for all the poor people who've been convinced that disinfectant wipes are somehow a panacea against everything that can hurt anything at all times. Everywhere you go, there's disinfectant wipes, there's disinfectant gels, there's disinfectant pumps, they're everywhere. And so all these people are going, wait a minute, no, it's not with the disinfectant wipes. I thought the disinfectant wipes were critical. I thought I was supposed to have the disinfectant wipes always available, and now you're telling me no disinfectant wipes. People are not going to know what to do. They're going to be confused. And later, we will pursue that theme throughout the show today. It seems like somebody wants us scared and confused. It seems that way. Now, finally, ready.gov, in case there is a nuclear attack or you suspect there has been a nuclear attack, try to maintain a distance of at least 6 feet between yourself and people who are not a part of your household. If possible, wear a mask. So I didn't make this up. This is on ready.gov. At least it was at the beginning of the week. They may have taken it down because I'm sure that every conservative talk show host worth his salt has done a bit on this. If you miss this, you should probably not have a show. This is the government writing material for right-wing talk shows. That's what this is. In fact, it may be a spoof. I may have been spoofed here. It could be that the Russians put up a fake Ready.gov website just to distract the conservative talk show host from... Well, we'll get to some of that as well. Anyway, so the masks stay. The disinfectant wipes, no, for the nuclear. Just so you know, for the nuclear attack. We don't want there to be any confusion. Now, from the decline and fall file, while Russia brought to a culmination the civil war that's been occurring there over the past 7 or 8 years in the eastern frontiers there in Ukraine, while that's all been going on, a whistleblower from within the United States military is reporting that they were ordered to undergo training. This is a high-ranking officer in the Army Special Forces. And this person says this training is called... is this a man or a woman? Specifically, how does... Well, we don't know, so we'll just say he, because in the English... The word he encompasses men and women. So, the whistleblower says that the training is titled, quote, Policy on the Military Service of Transgender Persons and Persons with Gender Dysphoria. So he says he was forced to undergo this training. Forced. So in the military, you can kind of be forced to do stuff. Not totally, because you could just resign. This is an officer, by the way. Could just resign. So to say you were forced is that's a bit of a stretch. That means you didn't have the courage to resign. And so you felt like you were forced, and what you actually did was go along with it. That's what this whistleblower did, but thankfully he went ahead and blew the whistle. That's something. So the whistleblower says he was ordered to undergo this training, and he says this, he shows slides. There's a slide in the presentation that the whistleblower revealed. And the slide says that transgenders are allowed to serve openly and will be treated with dignity. They shall not be involuntarily separated, discharged, or denied reenlistment for being transgender. Just in case you thought the whistleblower was just making this up, an Army spokesman has confirmed to the Free Beacon, where we got this, well, where the Conservative Playbook got this article, that the slides in question are indeed part of what the military calls mandatory training. It's an official program. We have a quote even, I think. Do we? Do we want to do a quote? It's kind of a scary thing to quote people in the military endorsing this official mandatory training document, but we will do so. We will quote Major General Douglas F. Stitt. That's right, Douglas F. Stitt, Military Personnel Management Director. Way too many words in that title. Let's see, Major General Stitt says... When a military medical provider gives the diagnosis of gender dysphoria, a soldier will then need to sit down with their chain of command and medical provider to determine what is medically necessary for an effective transition. Major General Douglas Stitt then goes on to say, every soldier is different. Every soldier is different, you know. I don't know, Major General Doug Guy. I remember when I was in the military, they said we were all the same. In fact, we were expected to all act the same and be the same and treat each other the same. In fact, back when I was in the military, there were no black guys and white guys. We weren't allowed to use those terms. There were dark green and light green. That's all we were. You were either dark green or light green, but you were green. You were mean and green, and that was all there was to it. And we weren't all different and special. And the drill instructors called a faggot a faggot. and a queer, and queers weren't allowed. Anyway, but here we are. And the main point of all that was to discourage people from being queer. That was the whole social construct was designed to prevent young people from damaging their lives and their psyches and their health and eventually their souls by going in for deviance and sexual perversion. It wasn't that we hated the queers. That wasn't it. Anyway. But, all right, let's move on because we can't dwell on that forever. Let's go to reason number 1984 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The ACLJ may try to keep them in there. That's right. You want to get or keep your children out of the government schools yourselves. Because if you don't, the American Center for Law and Justice may begin constructing a legal construct around them to keep them in the government schools. And that's the last thing you want. The American Center for Law and Justice has issued a warning via a warning letter, which is what lawyers do. What's the name of their letter? They have a letter. That's what lawyers do. They send a warning letter, and they've sent one to an elementary school in Washington State. Because a second grader there, a little girl, has been repeatedly sent to the principal's office for talking about Jesus. She's been sent to the principal's office for talking about Jesus, and the ACLU will have none of that. Upon investigation, the ACLU was told by the girl's mother, who has witnessed all this firsthand, that not only have they sent her to the principal's office and admonished her for talking about Jesus, they have also banned gospel tracts and inspected the girl's backpack in the morning at school to make sure she's not smuggling in gospel Christian material into the government schools. What does the ACLJ have to say to this? Enough is enough, they say. That's according to ACLJ spokesperson Christina Compagnoni Stierhoff. It's probably a lawyer. Anyway, she says they will not get away with this. The ACLJ will ensure that this little girl's religious liberties are respected once and for all. And that then they sent out the demand letter. That's it, the demand letter. Not the demand. They demand. So they sent the demand letter, and then they also said that we're ready to file in court if necessary. Huh? You want to rumble? You want to rumble? The ACLJ is ready to rumble. I didn't mean to imply anything. Spokesperson Christina Campagnoni Stierhoff, since she has two last names, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. She could identify as Campagnoni. She could identify as Stierhoff or a man or a woman or whatever. The ACLJ is not going to bring up anything about that. What they want to do is they want to make sure that this girl can continue to go to the government schools. They say, we were astonished when we were contacted by a second grade little girl's parents. Astonished. The ACLJ responded. So the mother reveals all this horrifying abuse that her child is experiencing at the government school factory. And the ACLJ looks at it all, processes it through the machinations of their legal genius, and then issued a response letter to the school with an explanation about the First Amendment and how it protects the students' constitutional rights even while they're at school. Nowhere in the story does it say that the folks at the ACLJ gave the mother an explanation about the government schools and the fact that the whole idea of having the government educate your children is immoral and that the government is a secular heathen institution. Mom, get your kid out of the government schools. That's my demand letter. That's why everybody wants a piece of the action. Everybody needs a main attraction. I got what everybody needs. Satisfaction guarantees. Everybody wants a piece of the action. Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's good to have you. That was reason number 1984, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, the ACLJ. You might want to keep them there. So from there, we go to Ukraine. Not to invade. We're not going to invade Ukraine. No, no. We're going to talk a little bit about the, well, just Ukraine in general from the politics file. You may or may not remember. A lot of the younger people in the audience, they don't remember because they weren't born. So they get a pass. Or at least some grace. But the people in the highest reaches and the highest echelons of government are all over 70 years old, for crying out loud. You think we haven't noticed that? You people should know better. So don't try to get by with all of this, okay? I know all of you people were there because I was there, and you were all old then. And you're even older now, so you are without excuse. In 1990, I know that's a long time ago. It's a long time ago. In 1990, the American Secretary of State and the German Foreign Minister promised the Kremlin that they would not expand NATO eastward if the Soviet Union would allow for German reunification. Do you people remember that? I remember that. Now, in the decades that followed, NATO incorporated 14 additional Eastern European countries into the NATO alliance, which went from an alliance to defend Europe against communism after World War II to apparently an alliance to transgenderfy the military and queer up everything everywhere and turn everyone gay. That's what NATO appears to me to be. Okay, I'm sorry. If you don't like it, I really don't care. I can see what's going on here. This is way bigger than an unprovoked attack on a peaceful democracy, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. Anyway, a little historical perspective. That's right. So the West and by the way, they promised that Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin had not yet assumed the presidency of Russia, but he was ascendant. And he was paying attention, and he was not focused on turning gay or questioning his gender identity at the time. Vladimir Putin was pretty sure he was a man and that he was going to take over Russia. And he was paying attention to what was going on in 1990, 1992, 1995, 7, 9, until he eventually did ascend to power. Now, Joe Biden's current CIA director wrote a book. He wrote a memoir entitled My Memoir, I'm So Great and Wonderful, Please Buy My Memoir. Bill Burns, Joe Biden's CIA director. In his memoir, he said, quote, I have yet to find anyone who views Ukraine in NATO as anything other than a direct challenge to Russian interests. Also from his book, let's see here. He has previously stated that NATO membership for Ukraine was, quote, the brightest of all red lines for Russia. Over and over and over, Putin has said, no, no, yet, yet, yet. You can't have Ukraine. Well, Ukraine's basically been governed, similarly to Russia, by strongmen and a bunch of criminal oligarchs since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989, 1990. And because it's been ruled by criminals, it's one of the poorest countries in Eastern Europe. The article says Europe. To say that Ukraine is in Europe, is that in and of itself shows some ignorance on the part of the reporters at the Epoch Times, who I normally like a lot. Anyway, there's rampant corruption all through Ukraine, not unlike Russia, and pretty much everywhere in Eastern Europe, and Europe, and the United States now, just rampant corruption. It's just that Europe and the United States are so fat. Our forefathers worked so hard and gave us something so enormously successful that even the rampant corruption and perversion of our political class has yet to devour the fat of the land. Just not yet. But in Ukraine, Eastern Europe, there was very little fat on the bones to begin with. And so these are desperately poor nations from Russia across Ukraine, Moldova, the Crimea, Hungary, Czechoslovakia. Maybe not Hungary so bad anymore. Hungary is doing a lot better. Well, again, so you've got all this corruption all through everything. And two significant revolutions have occurred in the so-called independent state of Ukraine since 1991. First, in 2004, when a pro-Russian politician won the election and a coup happened and they installed the guy who didn't win the election is what happened. The pro-Russian guy won, and the powers of NATO and the West, and the deviants and the sex perverts and the corrupt deviants, have I mentioned their deviants? They installed someone else, and that was 2004. And then again, February 2014, in an American-led coup, a coup led by Barack Obama, and who was his girl, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse? I can't remember her name right now. This is embarrassing. She was running U.S. foreign policy for the better part of 8 years. Nuland, Victoria Nuland. I can't remember her name. Anyway, look her up. Her name was either Vladimir or Victoria Nuland. Working for Barack Obama. In Nuland's coup, in February of 14... The Maidan Revolution, you remember, I talked about it last week. Well, it's been portrayed in the media as this triumph of democracy, but it was no such thing. It was a coup of the Russian guy. So Putin tried to put his guy in, and we kept taking Putin's guy out, and Putin kept saying, I don't like that. And if you don't stop that, I'm going to go to war. Well, the second time they knocked Putin's guy out, he took the Crimea, like the next day. He rolled his tanks into the Crimea and took it, and he said, okay, you guys are serious. I'm going to show you that I'm serious. Vladimir Putin's a bad guy. He's a very serious guy. And so he did. He took the Crimea. What did Victoria Nuland and Barack Obama do about it? And Susan Rice, what did they do about it? They did nothing about it. They did nothing about it, except say, we're going to take Ukraine. Now, we're really mad about that, and Ukraine's going to come into NATO. And they just kept teasing it and teasing it and teasing it. In fact, Lloyd Austin, who is the current Secretary of Defense, believe it or not, shockingly enough, under the doddering old fool that was installed at the head of our government, Lloyd Austin said as recently as October 2021, that the door is open to Ukraine for NATO membership because we're all so friendly and nice. And so Putin said, okay, well, I'm going to close that door. And we knew, or we should have known. I mean, maybe we collectively, speaking of the current administration and the, I don't even know what to call them, the oligarchs in charge here. Maybe they didn't know that eventually, if they kept talking this way, they were going to get a bunch of Ukrainians killed. Because the Russians were, I mean, Vladimir Putin has rolled tanks before. He's killed people before. You not take him seriously? You should take a criminal who has violated the borders of countries, violated states, blown things up and killed people, poisoned people. You should take that guy seriously. And you should use every effort to contain him as peacefully as possible so you don't get a bunch of innocent people killed. But instead, they just kept poking him. We're going to NATO. We welcome the possibility of Ukraine into NATO. So here we find ourselves at the culmination of a civil war that's been going on in Ukraine in some form or fashion for nearly 10 years. This is simply the culmination of that. And a battle, a geopolitical battle, whose red lines have been well-defined for almost 30 years. This is just the culmination. This is not an unprovoked attack on a peaceful, peace-loving democracy. And I have to ask, we're here. Here we are. Is this on purpose Or is this just the inattentive arrogance of the American political oligarchy and the Europeans who are simply consumed with eating and drinking and molesting each other and molesting anybody else they can get their hands on? I think it's completely possible that the reason we find ourselves with Russia shelling Ukraine and innocent people getting killed is because the rest of the people in the world who could have restrained this guy are just getting high and getting wasted and having sex. I think it's completely possible that that's what their main focus is. As much as it is a conspiracy by George Soros and all, it's possible that there's some of that in there too. But the main thing is that the people who should be sober and paying attention are not. They're otherwise engaged. It'll be so interesting when we get to heaven and we have an opportunity to look at how history actually happened and how amazingly trivial and self-indulgent were some of the moments that caused some of the most catastrophic events in history. It will be revealing. Meanwhile, from the bad religion file, last month, the Biden administration celebrated the first anniversary of the reestablishment of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. Do you remember that? Now, most of you don't remember that. This is from spectator.org. But you may remember that George W. Bush created the office, the White House Office of Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships. George W. Bush created it in order to give faith-based charities access to federal grants. Do you remember? Because we reported on it here. Bob Enyart reported on it over at kgov.com. And at the time, listen to what spectator.org says. The office exists to protect faith-based charities, At the time this was perpetrated, I was looking for the word there, it's perpetrated. By the time the creation of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships was perpetrated by George W. Bush, or not by the time, at the time, we warned you people that this would do nothing but corrupt churches. That's all it was for. And George Bush, whether it was through his stupidity, he was the stupidest person to ever occupy the White House.
Wait a minute.
George W. Bush.
I don't know.
Joe Biden's not really there. You can't. It's not stupidity with Biden. It's dementia.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some physical. George W. Bush had no such excuse. Anyway, it could have just been he's a stupid moron, but more than likely it was because George W. Bush intentionally hates Jesus Christ and Christianity and God and the Bible and all of that. That's what I think. So now the Spectator warns us that Joe Biden's corrupting the office with left-wing politics. Biden's faith-based office has no faith. The Spectator.org warns us. Some have called the office pointless, but it's worse than pointless. It's an insidious corruption of religion. What? Spectator.org now recognizes what we told you people back under George W. Bush, that the office, the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships was nothing but, and could be nothing but, an insidious corruption. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We now go to the Russian front. Wait a minute, weren't we just there in the Russian front? Oh, no, that's right. We had gone to the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, an organization founded in left-wing politics that's now been corrupted by left-wing politics, shockingly enough. But on to the Russian front, where we have a report from Wayne Allen Root, from RootForAmerica.com. I like Wayne Allen Root. I like reading his stuff. He's a good writer, and he's on point a lot of the time. He says, if Putin's a bad guy, why is Biden continuing to buy billions of dollars of oil from Russia every day? Well, that's an interesting question. Wayne Allen says, well, follow the dots. Soros is on the side of Ukraine. Soros says that the world must support Ukraine. George Soros funded the election of Vladimir Zelensky, the fake phony president there in the fake phony state of Ukraine. And George Soros basically had him installed after Soros rigged the election. Not unlike what he did with Joe Biden. Anyway, and of course, Ukraine is one of the most corrupt nations on earth. We've already talked about that. Wayne Allen reminds us that George Soros is obsessed with destroying America. And if you don't think that's the case, well, then you haven't been paying attention. Wayne Allen Root goes on to say, I think this war is a WMD, a weapon of mass distraction. Yes, yes. Instead of hating Biden, they want you to hate Putin. Instead of paying attention to what's going on with the installation of Biden and the installation of Zelensky, they want you to hate Vladimir Putin. Root goes on, this is all part of George Soros and Klaus Schwab's Great Reset. They need World War III as a distraction while they destroy America and freedom and everything that's good. Root says, I am not for Russia, but if Soros is behind Ukraine, I'm going to assume that Ukraine is also a bad guy. If Soros wants us involved, I'm going to assume that our involvement is not in our best interest and that the media is feeding us lies and propaganda. It's been astonishing to watch the American media from the local news all the way to everywhere. NPR, the network news, all of the cable networks, every one of them. Become mouthpieces of obvious propaganda, just obvious propaganda. It's creepy and eerie, and you would have thought that it only happened in Guatemala and Nicaragua and certain Central African dictatorships. That's what you would have thought. But it's happening right here, and it's quite ominous for those who have witnessed what happened in Guatemala, Nicaragua, and many Central African dictatorships. It just doesn't bode well for the future of Western civilization. Meanwhile, as to the question of why are we still buying oil from Russia? Well, of course, there's the well-worn saw on Fox News that we need energy independence. And it's like, yeah, I know that. But that's so beside the point. That's so beside the point, Fox News. Had you not let them get away with stealing the election, you wouldn't have to be arguing that saw. You bunch of corrupt enablers of all of this catastrophe. The hideous, monstrous, ungodly, inhuman scum at Fox News. So shut up about energy independence. We all know that. You don't have to point that out to us. You're the ones who did it to us. Please don't lecture us about it. So obviously there's that we should be drilling for more oil here. But then why are we buying it from Russia? Why is that still happening if Russia is so evil? They're the personification of Adolf Hitler. This is Poland, September 1939. Remember, we've been watching. If that's really true. Anyway, Jake Tapper asked Anthony Blinken. Is it Anthony Blinken? I don't know. It just says Blinken, and maybe that's appropriate. Our Secretary of State is Blinken. That's... no first name required. This guy will be like Cher. or Prince, there's no last name, Blinken. He's the Secretary of State for United States. Yeah, Blinken, that guy. He said Jake Tapper actually asked him on, one of the networks, either Fox or CNN or MSNBC. They're all pretty much the same. Jake Tapper said, well, the U.S. has not banned imports of Russian oil. Why can't we do everything we can right now? Why don't we ban Russian oil from the world markets? And Blinken started blinking, I'm sure. I didn't see it, but he's when it comes to oil, and I mean Russian oil. Did you say Russian oil? Because I'm about to talk about Russian oil. Is that what you were talking about, Jake? Let me just clarify. When it comes to oil, Russian oil, we are talking to our European partners is what we're doing. We're talking to our European partners, and what we're going to do with them is we're going to look at the prospect of banning the import of Russian oil. If that's what you were talking about, Jake, I'm talking about Russian oil. Is that what you meant? Okay, and we're going to do that while we're making sure that there is still an appropriate supply of oil. Any kind of oil, could be Russian, could not Russian. Well, not Russian, of course. We're going to talk about the idea of considering the possibility of banning the import of Russian oil, but now I'm talking about other oil of which we want to make sure there is an appropriate supply. And that's an active discussion that we're having, Jake. Active. So anyway, that's not exactly what Blinken said, but I was just trying to tell you what was going through his mind at the time that he was vomiting out the words that he did to Jake Tapper regarding making sure there's an appropriate supply of oil. An appropriate supply. Well, what about having enough? How about if we have, will we have enough? Well, it'll be appropriate. Appropriate like what? Like in line with your delusional fantasies about a Green New Deal and everything runs on solar and we're all breatharians? And Anthony, stop blinking, huh? Drop into the real world. All right, so there we go on the Russian oil and all that. Meanwhile, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we were watching the news the other night when it came on live reports of breaking news. Gong, breaking news, shoo-ba-gong on the TV. Right? You get the breaking news. Russians are shelling. The Russians were allegedly shelling an active nuclear power plant with 6 reactors, 10 times bigger than Chernobyl. And somewhere in there, the Ukrainian government, I remember the Ukrainian government reported that they're detecting elevated radiation levels. Everyone on the news networks they were being fed this information that the Russians were, and there was a fuzzy picture of something on fire in the back of a dark black with gray and smudgy gloomy. Yeah, look, it's on fire. And you're looking at it going, I can't even tell what that is. What is that? It's the nuclear power plant. The Russians are shelling it. They've surrounded it. They're going to blow it up. They want to blow it up like Chernobyl. And my extremely attractive audio engineer said, huh, really? They want to blow it up like Chernobyl? Really? Why? Why do they want to blow it up like Chernobyl? Do they all want to die? And then glow and get cancer for the next 30 years? Is that really? Anyway, she had her doubts about it. And at some point during the dong breaking news, we said, you know what? We're not sure we even believe this is actually happening. Despite the fact that the gong and the graphic on the screen, we were just thinking maybe. So it turns out the entire incident appears to have been contrived. Basically, Zelensky got on TV Thursday night and gave an impassioned speech where he said the Russians are deliberately attacking the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in an attempt to cause a Chernobyl-style global catastrophe. And he was basically trying to get the NATO or the United Nations to vote on enforcing a no-fly zone. And in order to enforce a no-fly zone, Zelensky wanted to make the world believe there was about to be a massive nuclear meltdown. And just from a purely a war fighting perspective, I don't blame Zelensky for trying this. Because, I mean, Zelensky's got shells falling on his head in his neighborhood. He's trying to defend his own house from the Russians. So I cannot blame him for taking advantage of every possibility and even lying in order to get his enemy killed. When you're in a war against an evil enemy, which he is, and being evil himself, he knows evil. You are allowed to lie and try to trick your enemies and all of that. But for whatever reason, the powers that be at NATO and the United Nations have left Zelensky out hanging out to dry. When I'm sure that he had back channel assurances that we were going to save him and we were going to save Ukraine. And now Zelensky is finding out that everyone, all the liars that he's been working with and lying to and lying with for the last 5 years, it turns out they were all lying to him. Imagine that. Vladimir. He's Vladimir, by the way. Putin is Vladimir.
Oh, it's different.
It's different by an I and an O. Yeah. For whatever that's worth. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if the I is more devious or the O is more devious. So I know that the guy in Russia, he used to be with the KGB. And the KGB did a lot of damage to freedom and justice and everything that's good and right in the world for the better part of 70 years, the KGB did. So we know about that. Now, the guy in Ukraine, Vladimir with the O, he was on television and in show business. And so which, if you put the two next to each other, show business and the KGB, which has done more to corrode and damage Western civilization and freedom and justice and freedom and the fear of God and the family and all of that? Who's done more? Huh? I'm the Weekly Worldview. No, it's the Weekly Worldview. I was listening to the guitar solo. I was waiting for Nuno to break into the fast, speedy, whatever you call them, fifthlets and couplets and whatever he does there. Finally, he did there at the end, so I was a bit distracted. Thank you very much. So we move now into the war file, where the head of MI6, which is British intelligence, or we would say former British intelligence, British former intelligence. By the way, the head of MI6 in England right now includes his preferred pronouns in his Twitter bio. Okay, so just let that sink in for a second. And that same person is now suggesting that a large part of the war in Ukraine is about LGBT rights. Now, He's not the first person to assert this. I asserted it. I've been asserting it for, I don't know, four or five years. That one of the main reasons for the tension right now between the East and West is the homosexualization of civilization. Because, let's face it, after the Soviet Union, the East and West, we should have been getting along. We really should have been. But we haven't been. And I'm not sure exactly why it is that the folks at NATO were obsessed with expanding. That might be just a pride thing. Well, no, not that kind of pride. I meant just regular old pride. Just the old-fashioned pride. But now it's more of a pride thing. It's pride. That's what it is. The source of tension is the threatened homosexualization of Eastern Europe by the West, which is already corrupt and a bunch of perverts and child molesters and creeps. And Putin is, say what you want about him, he's a heterosexual male. And he believes that children should not be corrupted with talk of sex. You know, he's just an old-fashioned criminal. That's all. Anyway, the head of Britain's Secret Intelligence Service, Richard Moore, prefers he, him, and he and him, I guess. Let's see. He says, we should remember the values that distinguish us from Vladimir Putin. None more than LGBT rights. What makes me different than Vlad? That's right. I'm gay. Now, he doesn't claim he's actually gay, but in a lot of ways, it's worse to advocate being gay and to promote sexual perversion. It's worse to do that than to even just be gay. It's way worse. So this guy's worse than gay. He's aggressively, assertively promotional. No, I don't know how to say it. He's openly and assertively, aggressively advocating that children be taught that they are gay. That's worse than being gay. All right. Anyway, let's see how this. The report from Summit News says, now, how any of this relates to Russia's bombardment of Ukraine is anybody's guess, says Summit News. Okay, Summit News, can I give you my guess? Here's my guess. You got a bunch of criminally insane sex perverts in Western Europe and America who pull off a coup in Ukraine right next to Russia, and they've been threatening to annex into NATO basically what Putin considers half of his country for the past 7 or 8 years. By the way, the territory where your nation was founded. These bunch of criminally insane sex perverts say they're going to take it. And so you launch a war in 2014 that culminates in a final assault 7 years later. That's my guess, Summit News, on how this has to do with the Russian bombardment of Ukraine. Not to put too fine a point on it, but that's at least one of the facets that has led us to where we are in this naked aggression and surprise attack, unprovoked attack on the decent, hardworking, freedom-loving LGBTQ community in Kyiv. What's with Kyiv anyways? When did it become Kyiv? I always thought it was Kiev. Everyone always said Kiev. All of a sudden, it's Kyiv. You know, it reminds me of what Bob Enyart said 10 years ago. He said, what's the deal with NPR wanting to change the way we pronounce the capital of countries like every 2 or 3 years? He noticed that back then. I notice it now. Why is it Kyiv now? I didn't get the memo on that. And I've noticed that different personalities on Fox News pronounce it differently. Yeah, the ones who are, well, let's just put it this way. The ones who advocated for masks say Kyiv. And the ones who at least tried to resist it, you know, like later on when they finally got sick of the masks and they finally realized, those guys still say Kyiv. So you figure the rest out. I don't know what's going on there. Meanwhile, we go to the War Within a War file. The War Within a War file, where CBS last week published an article discussing transgender acceptance in Ukraine. CBS News spoke with a woman in Kyiv battling a war within a war amid Russia's invasion. That's right. Let's see. They interviewed a transgendered person, a tranny. Why do we say tranny? Because it's easier to say than transgendered person. That's all. Not meant as any disrespect. It's just a tranny is easier to... Anyway, the tranny was born in Crimea, which was invaded and taken over by Russia in 2014. Now the tranny lives in Kyiv. Not to be confused with Kyiv. I don't want to confuse you on that, but it's the same city. And not to confuse you about the sex of the person in the story, because I'm about to go into that. It gets even more confusing. Forget Kyiv and Kyiv. How about he, her, and him, and she, and it? How about that? All right. Now the tranny lives in Kyiv, which is under siege by the Russians. And he's running out of food, and she hasn't left her house for days, and he hears gunfire erupt outside. So I basically just replaced the pronouns with whatever I felt like. That's because aren't we allowed to do that? Not to confuse you by any means. I don't want to do that. Anyway, the tranny being interviewed by CBS says that transphobia is pervasive in the city of Kyiv and in neighboring countries, including the Russians. Those bastards. The tranny says that he fears if he leaves the house. The tranny fears that if he leaves Kyiv... he fears leaving Kyiv because of all this transphobia. The tranny was previously a popular contestant on a Ukrainian singing competition on TV called The Show Factory. The Star Factory. So here's another a sex pervert from show business that CBS is putting up against the KGB guy coming out of Russia and. All right, so CBS interviewing the tranny. The tranny says, sometimes we think we're stuck inside of some kind of video game, unquote. That's what the tranny said to CBS. And then I said to the tranny, no, that's mostly just you who think you're in some kind of video game because you're mentally deranged. The rest of us know that we're not in a video game. That's just mostly you because you've got lots of problems. CBS goes on to conclude that this poor tranny hiding in Kyiv lives alone and his friends have all left her. So there you go. So where are we supposed to go from there? I mean, how do you segue from that story? How do you segue from, we'll just go to the Supreme Court. We'll go to the Supreme Court of the United States, which is easily as culpable in the destruction of Western civilization as anyone in the Kremlin or anyone in the KGB or certainly anyone in Ukraine. The Supreme Court last Friday laughingly reinstated the death penalty sentence against the Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. Why do I say laughingly? Because when I read this, I laughed. Yeah, right. This is from the yeah, right file. Yeah. They weren't laughing, the folks at the Supreme Court. They were acting very serious. But we were laughing at them, not with them. There was a 6-3 ruling by the justices. Tsarnaev's lawyers had argued that his trial judge erred in barring certain questions to certain prospective jurors and certain evidence relating to his brother's role in a prior case. What Tsarnaev's lawyers did not argue was that there was even a remote chance that he was innocent. They didn't even argue, because they don't have to argue that in order to get him a new trial. They don't have to. Why? Because the justice system is corrupted by its own pride. The justice system has created people who believe that the legalistic machinations of the system itself are more sacred than justice. And they're willing to let a murderer go free in order to preserve the sacred machinations of their holy system. And that is more corrosive to everything we hold dear than anything coming out of the Kremlin, anything in Kiev or Kyiv, or even on television, which is pretty bad. All six of the Supreme Court conservatives, which is in quotation marks, voted to reinstate the death penalty, wink, wink, nod, nod, against Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. While the three liberal justices all dissented. Why? For fundraising purposes, primarily. But in reality, all nine of them, or at least a majority of them, were willing to entertain this ludicrous arguments of this case. So they allowed the ludicrous, insane, hysterically, insanely stupid arguments of a mad bomber's lawyers, a guy who we all watched. Do you people remember this? Do you remember watching this? First of all, many people saw the bombs go off live at the Boston Marathon, especially the people whose legs got blown off. We remember that, right? We all watched it. And then we watched as the police locked down Boston and chased these guys around. And there was video. There was video of the shootout with the brother. And the chasing and the catching and him hiding in the boat and the infrared camera. Do you remember all that? Remember watching that live? We all watched it. But the nine justices at the Supreme Court agreed to hear the arguments of this guy's lawyers while countless other more legitimate questions of actual law and right and wrong were rejected by these same nine. And so, again, we find ourselves laughing at these fools. I mean, come on. Are you serious? It's already been 9 years since we watched the shootout with the cops and the hiding in the boat and the infrared. And when everybody knew that these guys are guilty beyond any shadow of any reasonable doubt, they were even convicted. It's been 9 years. And now you say you're reinstating the death penalty? That's why we're laughing. And we're only laughing to keep ourselves from going insane. That's why we're laughing. To keep ourselves from going insane. Now, meanwhile, I have a report from Christianity Today, which I normally don't do because it's normally embarrassing, but I will do this. The conservative United Methodists are going to break away from the liberal United Methodists. And what I meant by that was Christianity Today's headline. What I mean that is the less sinful United Methodists plan to break away from the utterly sinful and corrupt United Methodists is what's going to happen. The less sinful liberal Methodists are going to form the Global Methodist Church as opposed to the United Methodist Church, which is obsessed with child killing and sodomy, and that's pretty much what they're all about. Let's see, after splitting from the faith at the end of the month, when they break away from the queers and the sex perverts, see, the folks forming the Global Methodist Church plan to go from being a part of the most sinful denomination to back to being just a regular sinful denomination within the utterly corrupt mainline Protestant religion in general. They were going to vote back in 2020, but they all got scared. And then they all got scared again in 2021. And then they pretty much wanted to avoid the issue. So they're scheduling a vote for sometime later, September of 2022 in Minneapolis. They're going to vote on whether or not they wanted delegates are going to take up something called the Protocol of Reconciliation and Grace Through Separation. So here's a perfect example of what's wrong with the just the Christian church in general, the Protestant side of things. First of all, if you can't have reconciliation and separation, you just can't do that. it's like law and grace. I mean, you can have law or you can have grace. You can have reconciliation or you can have separation. But you can't have both. It's like you can't have marriage and sodomy. Well, I think you know what? You can't be married and be divorced. You can't. You get, it's one or the other, okay? The people in the Christian church here in the United Global Methodists, they think they can have reconciliation through separation, which means they're generally confused. And the good thing about being a Christian now and not... Well, I don't want to get theological. The good thing about being a Christian is that a lot of the sins we commit are sins of ignorance. And so many of these poor Methodists have come up in a denomination that has, from the time they were little children, taught them wrong. That's bad grammar, I think. They've been instructed incorrectly by the church since they were children. And so because of that, God has a lot of grace and mercy. And he's like, listen, you guys were corrupted from the time... they dripped the water on your forehead. You didn't even know how to talk. These people have been teaching you incorrectly. So God has a lot of grace and a lot of mercy for sins of ignorance. You know, like thinking you can have reconciliation through separation. That's pretty ignorant and embarrassing, but well, God have mercy on us all, I guess. I guess that's about all I can say. Now, what do I want to say? I don't want to end with I have a suicide and I have a machete attack. And you know what? The machete attack is less depressing than the suicide, so I'll do that. Lake Mary, Florida, police were called in the middle of the night to a Waffle House in Lake Mary, Florida, and a convicted felon there was, he was hacking at a woman with a machete until he was eventually, he escaped, he hacked her, and she survived, thankfully, and they finally captured him. And this is really just a commentary on the average Friday or Saturday night or Sunday morning, whenever this happened, the average night in America, at a Waffle House, there's a machete attack. Now, the woman's told the police that she didn't know who this guy was at all. The surveillance video makes her story seem somewhat suspicious, according to police. So they're trying to get to the bottom of it. And I can assure you, trying to get to the bottom of anything that happens in the early morning hours at a Waffle House can be quite challenging. Whether it has anything to do with the food or the patrons or the various blunt instruments and machetes and whatever's involved, it's just another signpost, another sign of the times here in America today as we circle the drain, possibly at the end of Western civilization, possibly at the beginning of another great awakening. I hope it's the latter, and we'll be here to guide you through it all at the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry. We will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.